I heard that.
I don't know.
This is Western Information. Western Information.
This is Wasted Information. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
What are you drinking, Brandon?
Yo. Dogfish Head. Sea Quench Ale. Their Session Sour. It's actually pretty good. So it took me a second. And Jimmy would probably say that my first reaction was not a good one because of the face I made. I didn't know what I was expecting. I forgot it was a sour.
Oh,
so it says it's blissfully brewed with lime juice, lime peel, black limes, and sea salt. It's like just lime wasn't enough.
What the fuck is a black lime?
I don't know. But it's quite sour. And that little bit of salt is delicious.
Where's it from?
From what?
Where's Dogfish Head? Is that like a local one? Oh, Dogfish Head?
They're in Delaware.
Oh, you just got a rando one?
No, I mean, I love Dogfish Head. So when we lived in New Jersey, obviously Dogfish Head was much closer. We were going to go, they have like a cool campus kind of on the coast. And they have like their own hotel and a brew pub. And they have a bus that'll take you around. They are dog friendly. So you can take your pets with you and like visit all the places, go to the beach with them. Like they'll drop you off. Awesome place. And we didn't get to go because, you know, fuck COVID. But still love Dogfish Head. They're a fantastic brewery. So what you drinking, Jimmy?
I am drinking Beer Brewery, B-I-E-R, beer.
Ooh.
Red Rum Irish Red. Huh. ABV 5.3%. A complex and flavorful malt-forward beer. Excessive amounts of crystal malts give this beer a caramel, toffee, and fruit-like sweetness. I don't know about that because it's an Irish red, but it's good for an Irish. It's kind of light. I wasn't expecting it to be. Like, I thought it was flat at first, but it's just kind of like a light flavored or light tasting beer.
All right.
I like it because I know when I was younger, at least, Killian's was one of my favorites.
Yo, I love Killian's. Like,
but that one's a much, what's more? It's a heavier beer in comparison to this one.
Yeah, it is. Killian's is a solid beer though. Like
definitely is. I haven't had it in years, but it's still probably out there. One, because I mean,
forgot about that.
It was always number two behind Labatt, and Labatt is still my favorite beer for now and forever.
That's fair. I think the only time I've ever had a Labatt was like at a house party. Even in Canada, when I was in Canada, I drank Molson. I didn't drink Labatt.
Yeah. So Bud Light, Miller Lite.
Yeah. Bud Light's really expensive in Canada.
Because it's
imported. I mean, all beer is expensive in Canada for what it's worth. All beer is expensive. I'm actually really looking forward to it. It's starting to get warm here. It was really hard for me not to start to get into like the summer beers. They're starting to release like the lemon stuff here. So that and sours, just generally like fruitier ciders and shit. That's going to be all I'm drinking for the next, you know, 3 months throughout summer. I drink a lot of sours in summer. Ciders, somewhat, it depends. Rheingeist has a lot of really good ciders. I think I had a Rheingeist one in episode 8 that I talked about, but not a cider, but just a beer from Rheingeist.
We might coordinate a Line and Kugel episode.
Yeah. They're just overall, their summer stuff is just fantastic. Summer shandy. I mean, their shandies. Well, they have multiple shandies. They have the summer shandy. Oh, yeah. They have
winter shandy.
Like a grapefruit one. They have the berry vice, which is a different one. Their canoe paddler, though. Like, they're generally, their summer lineup is fantastic.
But honey vice is probably my favorite line in Kugel. Ooh, and it's on shelves for 4 days a year.
Yeah, I've only seen it in one place that like you can like grab a six pack of it. Usually they have it in their like variety pack. I've only ever seen one place that had an actual six pack.
But anyways, yeah.
Just so you know.
The other thing on this can is Taste Our Awesomeness. I don't know how I feel about that, but it's...
where are they out of?
It's brewed and bottled by South Broad Ripple Brewing Co. in Indianapolis, but they're called Beer Brewery. So it's out of Indianapolis, but... But speaking of nothing in particular, let's get into the main topic for the day. Talking about jobs we've had, bad jobs, good jobs, job goals. One thing I've brought up before, like I wanted to touch on, and this is the perfect way to segue into it weeks later. When we talked about code switching, like having a different voice. Yeah. Back in the day in college, I worked at Kohl's. I was one of like 10 guys compared to like 100 women that work there because it's Kohl's. Fair. But one day, my boss asked me to come in on my day off to do like a special project, basically. So I didn't have to work. So I was like, do I have to work on the floor? She's like, no. I was like, all right, bet. Like, I didn't have to work in my shoe department.
Okay.
Basically, what she had me do, they were doing a hiring spree. So they would do group interviews. That's how I got hired. It was like in a group of like 8 people.
So wait, is it like all or nothing? Like one person can fuck it up for everybody?
No. Like, okay. It's just saving time.
8 people. That guy's
they only have 3 managers. They don't have time to interview 40 people.
That's fair.
So instead of doing 40 interviews, they do 5. You can knock it out in like a weekend. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So what she needed me to do, she called me in to call applicants and schedule them for interviews. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to, that was one of my better days there because I got to just chill in the office the whole day, just making phone calls. When it comes to code switching, how I've talked about, like I put on more professional voice.
Do you have a good phone voice?
I guess. Because she was making fun of me from her office. Because she knows me. She's talked, she'd known me for over a year at that point. She's like, who was that on the phone? And then later, people were calling back. Like, I had to leave voicemails a lot of the time.
Okay.
Yeah. And they would call back and they're like asking for the manager Jimmy that called them. And then they got a good kick out of that. It's like the manager Jimmy. It's like, oh, yeah, Jimmy made all the phone calls. But you know how I sound. Any of the couple people that listen to this know how I sound, like my default speaking voice.
Yeah.
It went from. And this is how I sounded back then. Probably a little different because I was 20 years old. But they hear this voice, this cadence, and then it turns to, hi, this is Jimmy with Kohl's. We were looking at your application and wanted to know if you were interested in coming in for an interview. We have a couple dates set up on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week at 2 p.m. If you'd be interested in scheduling an interview for any of those dates, call us back and we'll get you set up. Thanks. Bye. And it's like, it's still me, so yours, but it's a much
yours,
more.
Yours is the opposite of mine. So I think you actually went up a little bit. You got friendlier.
Well, yeah, because I have a customer service voice.
Which is funny. So at work, they make fun of me when I have to do, when I have to host webinars. So did you like they call it, it's hilarious. They call it my webinar voice. And they're like, I kind of love it. They're like, it's, I mean, I know how I sound and I do not sound professional at all, which we'll get to that in a second. But when I do these webinars, I make sure I get into more of a, I slow it down and I get into more of a radio tone, I guess. So every time it starts, it's, thank you for joining us today on the Cosmolex webinar series presentation. And it's very... Like, I don't think it's any deeper than I normally talk.
Definitely is. It's 100%
deeper. They say it is.
It sounds like you're trying to go deeper.
I mean, there I specifically was. When I have my, like, you know, my script I follow for them during the presentation, all attendees will be muted. If you need assistance during the webinar, please click the raise hand icon on the left to alert us. We will do our best to assist you. If you have any questions, leave them in the questions window. And
I get that. Well, because that too, when I was doing the stuff, it's a much more customer service, like trying to be like a friendly sounding voice for that. Yours is more of a
presenting,
presentation, more of an authoritative voice to it also.
So I think where this came out and why I do this on the phone when I talk to people is one of my first jobs. I guess during college, it was technically an internship during college. I was helping out at the medical supplies lab where my parents work, and it was looking for new suppliers, except you put this like young kid on the phone and they had me just like leaving voicemails for people like, yeah, we're looking to source some new rubber to make our shoes. Like it was just the dumbest. Like I listened to a few of the voicemails. I was like, no one's gonna call us back.
Yeah.
No one. Like you signed who up for this? Like, why did you put me on this job? Like this is.
So yeah, so
definitely chose the wrong person for that one.
You switched it to more of, like you said, more of a deeper, just like authoritative voice, more of like an adult sounding voice. But when you said you went deeper, my mind immediately went to like smooth jazz radio station DJ. Like this is Brandon Warzyniak coming at you tonight with some smooth tunes for your Saturday evening.
Listening to Moody Blues on the twos. You know.
But even when you did it like that, you still do it more of like a, you're deeper, but you're projecting the deepness.
Yeah.
Instead of just.
Yeah, I can't do just really a smooth deep. Like when I go deep, I project. I think I have to because I have to push. I have to like push it out.
I think it's because your natural register is anyway. Baritone. So trying to go deeper, like you're getting into the bass.
I don't think my voice is that deep. Like that's the
well, it's not so much as like deep as like shaking speakers, but it is deeper just in comparison to other people's voices. Yeah. Like you have a lower register. Like mine's just my regular voice is quieter, but your voice is deeper than mine.
It's been all of these jobs. Every job I've ever had has forced me to get on the phone at some point. And it, like I've gotten so comfortable now where I will pick up the phone and just talk to anyone. Like I don't care. I think it's just in generally made me more sociable. Like as I've gotten older, I can just go out and make friends with people. Like, so I'm like, I don't care. I'm on the phone. I'm going to do it. But I mean, from my first job, and we talked about this a little bit in the happy hour, but my first job at just a little local pizza place, they ended up putting me like on phones to start. Like it was like going from dishwasher to phone answerer. And I was like, this is awful. That was the main step before you become like an actual like cook there is you're on like the phones and cash register and dealing with all that shit. Like, okay, like maybe you cut the pizzas, mostly just being like front end customer service. And again, that was when I was like, you know, from 16 to 18, no, not even like really realistically like 14 to 18 working there. I don't know. It definitely built up some stamina, but that was also one of the, I mean, great, fantastic place to work. I loved everyone there. Loved the job. Also one of the worst places to work because that's where I experienced the weirdest shit at my job. Quite literally shit. And I realize we talk about shit a lot on this podcast recently, like 3 out of the last 4 episodes at least. But some of the worst things I've had to do were clean the bathrooms in restaurants where people just shit all over the place. I talked about it in an episode we haven't released, and maybe we can get the archive footage of it and release part of that as a special. We'll see later. So one time I had a customer come up when I was working at this pizza place, and mind you, I'm a teenager. They come up and I'm working the front cash register, and they're like, can you go check on the like men's bathroom? Like, I don't know if someone's in there, if like they're doing okay or like what's going on. It's just been locked a while. Like I've been trying to go to the bathroom. It's been locked and no one's answering. Like I went over there and like I knocked on the door and no one answered and knocked again and was like, you know, this is management. Is everyone okay in there? And I just kind of heard someone's, I'm okay. I'll be out in a moment. I'm like, all right. I was like, just making sure. And like, I just left. Where our cash register was, it's kind of on the hallway to the back to the bathroom. People are going to the bathroom. You see them walking by the cash register. So maybe 5 minutes later, a guy walked out from the bathroom hallway, essentially grabbed his stuff with his wife and just left. And I'm like, all right, well, the bathroom's done. So I was like, I'm just going to go check to make sure like nothing crazy happened back there. Like I was like, you know, I don't know. I mean, he was an older guy, like 70s, like 60s, 70s maybe. But I was like, I don't know if he's on something. I don't know if he was like sick. Like, I'm going to go check. So I had someone else jump on the register real quick and I ran back there.
I remember the story.
Dude, there was literal just shit. Like, I can't even on the wall, on the floor, on the mirror, like next to this toilet. And I want to say like it wasn't on purpose. Like I want to say, but to projectile the way it did, this man shouldn't have a butthole anymore. Like it should just be a giant opening.
Maybe he didn't have one to begin with.
Like I feel like he might have had some medical issue. But and then like I don't know if he tried to clean it and it just smeared, like that's why it was like on the mirror and like it got worse. Like if he on the sink, it was on the sink, on the hand, like I had to close off the bathroom. I had to like get caution tape and like block off the hallway. I was like, guys, I'm gonna be a minute. Like I told my manager, I was like, what should I do? And he's like, well, I mean, you should go clean it. And I was like, oh, I mean, I guess so. The only good part of this was after I cleaned it, he let me go home. I just went and showered. It was, I mean, I rubber gloved and had a mask. But also, this guy didn't stop and say, like, I'm sorry. Like, hey, you might want to send someone back there. Nothing. He just... Nope.
That's how you have to react if you shit everywhere.
To be fair, I've done the same thing. Not that bad. Not on that scale.
How do you explain as an adult to another adult that you shit anywhere other than just in a toilet?
Dude,
it's like when I worked at Kohl's, probably with the same episode that you talked about that. I came in later, but what had happened was a woman in her probably mid-40s shit her pants.
Ooh, yes.
She was embarrassed, but she brought it up and they gave her a bat. Like she changed into a different pair of pants, like at the store. Cause thankfully she was at a store that sold clothes. She paid for the pants.
I'm gonna buy these pants.
I'm gonna wear them out. Usually you do that with shoes. You don't do that with fucking jeans. But the problem was when nobody paid attention, but she had put her soiled pants in the bag. And then put it in her cart and then continued to shop.
Oh.
And the bag leaked, so she left a snail trail of dookie water throughout the fucking Kohl's. And if you know what a Kohl's looks like, there's some tile, there's some carpet. And it was just a like when you have a trash bag that leaks and you drag it and it leaves a stain, but with poop water.
God.
And so she left. And I came in to hearing the girls at the register with PTSD from the situation, like recovering, talking about it. And I started laughing in their faces, like shit everywhere. Like, that's hilarious. I didn't have to deal with it. Knowing me and my position in the store.
What's the worst thing?
I'd say I'd be the one that would have had to clean it if I was there.
Yeah, I was going to say. What is the worst thing you had to deal with while you were there, like customer service
wise? At Kohl's specifically?
Yeah, we'll go earliest. I know that wasn't your first job, but like.
Yeah, I went from Kroger's to Sears Essentials to Kohl's.
Yeah. Did you have any worse experiences at the earlier stores?
Oh, I was going to say compared to years, no. I learned early on when I worked at Kroger, because that's why I only worked there 6 weeks before I quit, being the guy that's. Oh, I'll do it. Like if they ask me to do something and doing it without creating a fuss, you're going to have to do everything. Anytime someone throws up, it's going directly to you.
Oof.
They're not going to bother asking the other guys because other guys will cause a stink.
Where are people throwing up in Kroger? Like in the bathroom or just like
3 different aisles? And it's the same person. They just kept shopping and kept throwing up because it was the same puke. And I had to put down the magic dust stuff on it.
Sawdust.
It's not sawdust. It's called like spill magic or something. And I did like dust that. Fucking somebody at the self-checkout once dropped a thing of detergent and the entire thing exploded. So I had to sit there and mop up detergent while people are still trying to like check out. So I have to like mop around people.
God. It sounds bad. I've seen someone drop a gallon of milk and it exploded everywhere. And I'm like, that just got, you know, they were smelling that for weeks.
Well,
later.
I hadn't.
Like,
going back to bathroom stories, that was always saying, like, somebody complaining about the bathroom. They don't have janitors. They grab a bagger because I was a bag boy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you go do it. So I went in there, and there were times where there's like a lot of shit in the toilet and all that. That's whatever, you just flush it with your foot.
Yeah.
But one time I went in there, and all three stall doors were locked. So someone like locked them and then crawled out underneath.
Went under.
Just to be an asshole.
Some kid went under.
So I went back to the front. I'm like, yeah, all the stall doors are locked. I don't know what to do. And she just stared at me. So I just stared back at her. I was like,
unlock them.
I was like, so you tell me I have to crawl on the floor in the bathroom to go underneath to unlock the doors? And she's like, yep. So I fucking did it. Because I was... Because it was my first job. I'm like, how do I say no? With that,
like, and I'm going home.
I didn't last at that job much longer. But
Did you have to deal with the like people randomly reshelving things where they didn't go? Just like leaving things to spoil on shelves at all?
I was up at the front.
Okay.
When I worked at like, Sears, I dealt with like straightening things on shelves. But nobody shopped at Sears Essentials in 2008, 2009. So my whole...
Which essentially was like Kmart.
Yeah, Sears bought out Kmart. A lot of the Kmarts.
Yeah.
So my whole job was... The main one was like the cat food aisle. With like the little cans of Nine Lives. Nine Lives, if you want to sponsor us. You walk up and just face them. Just turn each can to the front. Kill some time. That's all you did. Was you just turn... We didn't have too many outright... Not really... The only outrageous thing we had, which... My friends that work there probably remember, we had a manager that we all hated. She was a big hefty lady, but she was a bitch to all of us. Okay. We go on break and we'd get in trouble for being on break for too long and all that. It's their fault because they put a couch in the break room. So we'd sit on the leather. We'd take our breaks at the same time and then they'd get mad at us for doing that because we're hanging out in the break room. Two coworkers were like, you're going on break, right? I was like, what? Like, you're going on break right now, right? It's like, oh, okay. So I went to break with them. They're like, open that fridge. Tell me what you see in there. Open the fridge. There's a blueberry pie. And I look at them like, we don't sell pies.
Oh.
And not like a pie, like, oh, somebody brought a pie for everyone and like slices cut out. No, somebody went at this pie with a fork. Like there was like a crater in the middle of this pie. Like somebody...
Someone brought a pie for themselves.
The manager brought a whole pie and was just eating it. That was her lunch break. She just ate a blueberry pie. Oh,
Jesus.
And it wasn't like a small one. It was a full-size pie with like...
Like a 9, 10-inch pie, whatever it is.
Yeah, with like a sizable chunk out the middle. And I just remember one guy's face, he just looking at me going, we don't sell pies. She brought a pie from home to have at work. She was the one when
It's one thing, like,
well, she fired Gabe and then but she fired him at the beginning of his shift like an idiot. And his job that day was retagging like sale items. So he was just walking, putting tags everywhere. He was like, aspirin, potato chips.
So you fire someone and then make them work their shift.
Yeah, well, because he was hired on as seasonal. So she basically, because someone was like, this is your last day.
Oh.
But still. It's like, you expect me to work, try? So he just put tags on a random shit.
So, like, I've been fairly consistent. Like, I worked, like, restaurant, like, started pizza place, worked in a fast casual place for another, like, 5 years. Like, essentially all through college, working in the same place. Like, that's fair. I wasn't going to throw it out there.
If it's a chain. No one cares here.
Yeah.
We're not saying, I worked in the one in whatever that town was. That
I worked in multiple of them anyway, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, so after that, I mean, I got into the marketing stuff a little bit at Fridays, and then I was doing marketing for a few different Fridays. After college, I got kind of a real job. I was doing logistics and shipping and stuff at a medical supplies factory, got in doing the marketing for them as well. And I've pretty much been marketing ever since. At
the beginning of that job.
Yes.
You recharged fire extinguishers.
Oh, no, I was the factory bitch. Like, that was my job, was to be the factory bitch. it was like if someone needed something, they needed supplies. So they built like essentially braces and prosthetics. So a lot of that's plastic molding and repetitive things for the guys, but they need plastic and they need things to be filled around the shop, and like things need to be swept up, like the scraps from cutting. And that's all I did. So like I would just like haul plastic back and forth. And like if anything needed to be done like in the office, it was a huge building. So yeah, one day we had a fleet of Priuses. So I took one of the Priuses, loaded it with all of our fire extinguishers. We had to leave two at the office just in case. So I had like 20 fire extinguishers in the back of a Prius. I had to go drop them off. And then when I picked those ones up, I took the other ones back. But I used to have, so one of the jobs was they would make these molds of like torso braces out of plastic, but to mold it, they would like use a CNC machine to carve this foam. And it was like really dense, dusty foam. So like if you carved into it, it was just like fiberglass dust, almost like really itchy, nasty shit. But it was in a room that when they were carving this in the CNC machine, like it sucked it all up and took it out of the facility and dumped it in these big bins. One of my jobs was to empty those bins. So I would have to go in like full almost like hazmat suit. Like I had to like the giant rubber arm gloves, like my full face mask, like respirator on, goggles, like whole head wrapped like thing, and empty these bins, because just opening the bin would just be a plume of dust. I still love that job. Like I didn't care. Like that was one of my, I mean, it was a fantastic job because I got to do everything around there. There'd be times where it was like, take the car in to the shop. So like half of my day would just be dropping the car off at the mechanic, waiting for someone to come pick me up, and then just bringing it back. And then like the next day, I would drive to the mechanic and like pick it up. And it was, I got to drive around, like my main company vehicle is a Ford F-350 Platinum Limited Edition. Nice, like heated leather seats and steering wheel, like just a beast of a truck. And I would take that daily, picking up stuff from our ship, our storage facility that was a couple miles away, bringing it back to the plant. And just, it was a great time. Like I absolutely love that job, just working around everyone in that office. Just anytime supplies were going in and out, like all the shipping ran through me. Like I'd slowly transitioned from like factory bitch to like logistics and shipping, and then worked my way up and eventually got a job in marketing.
You didn't love being the factory bitch in like that wasn't your career goal.
No, yeah, I didn't want to do that forever, but as I moved up, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the company, the people there. I mean, it was a family-owned company. Fuck, my family worked there. My mom and dad both worked there, too. We didn't own the company. It wasn't our family-owned company, but they both worked there. My aunt works there as well. So it's a great place. I mean, the owner, his wife, his kids work there. It's a great place.
And then your wife stole you and took you out to New Jersey.
Yep. My wife took me from there, and I started over in New Jersey. Oh, God. Should we talk about my crazy when I worked for the Korean dental company in New York City? We'll go through my work history stuff first, and then we'll get into Jimmy's crazy shit.
Do you want to like go back and forth, or do you want to?
Yeah, we can go time. We can go timeline here, because so I was doing that stuff in college pretty much. So when you were in college, you shifted from like retail stuff to.
We kind of covered it. The basics of it.
Delivery and, driver stuff.
Yeah. Covered the basics of it in the happy hour when we just wouldn't shut the fuck up and just end the episode. We just covered part of this episode. I went from Kohl's working the department store to where I just out of nowhere just applied to be a delivery driver. I just needed a job where they weren't trying, because I used to go back and forth from. Like during the summer, I would transfer up to the Kohl's closer to where I lived so I could actually work during the summer and not have to live on campus.
Right.
I did that 2 years.
Save some money, make some money.
Yeah. But I did that for 2 years, two summers. The second summer, right before I moved, like a week before I went back to school, I was always, because I was a guy, so you're either in the home goods or the shoe department.
You were a guy?
Yeah.
You're still a guy?
If you're a guy working in Kohl's.
Gotcha.
You work in like the home goods, appliances, towels.
Nah.
Or you work in the shoe department.
Yeah.
You don't work in the clothes. That's just how it goes. At least it did back then. So I was relegated to the shoe department almost exclusively. Like a week before, I got scheduled for a couple like overnight shifts that I didn't ask for. They didn't ask me if I'd be willing to. I just got scheduled for overnight shifts a couple times.
That's not good.
No, it wasn't bad once I did it because you got time and a half for doing it. And you just unload the semis and all that. And then in the morning when the regular staff starts coming in, you're finishing like tagging stuff before you go home. It was about a week before I left for school. The shoe department supervisor comes up to me and is like, "Hey, Jimmy, so you know I'm leaving, right?" I was like, "Yeah, I heard that. You're going somewhere else." She's like, "Yeah, so that means they need someone to be the manager or the supervisor for the shoe department." It's like, "Yeah." She's like, "I talked to just about every person in the store. Everybody said you are the most qualified person. Everyone in this department, everyone that knows you at this store is like, yep, Jimmy is the most qualified." But I'm like, I mean, I'm leaving in a week to go to West Lafayette. So I couldn't, like, they were trying to, like, give me a promotion. Granted, looking back, like, I probably would have been making, like, $10 an hour, which back then would have, compared to what I was making, it would have seemed like a lot more money. So I went back to Purdue. And they were taking forever to like get me back on the schedule. So I was like, I'm running out of money here. I need a job. So I just applied at Domino's just because it was a job on like a job site. And I got hired, realized, oh, they're being real flexible with my hours. I'm making way more money here getting tips than I ever would at Kohl's. So I eventually had to quit Kohl's and then did Domino's full time. Did that for 2 years. Then went to another delivery place for a year and some change until I eventually was done with school for the time being. It was like, I need to, it's like, I need to get out of here. At the time, I had a house waiting for me in South Bend that my sister and I inherited. So I was like, I'll get a job in South Bend and then I just have a place to stay. It'll be fine. And I was in school for all intents and purposes, criminal justice. Purdue calls it law and society, which is just criminal justice, sociology that can be like used as a pre-law degree, which is real complicated. It's easier to say criminal justice. So I was just looking for jobs in that field.
That's fair.
And then I found a job, which to this day is the worst job I've ever had.
I was going to ask you, I feel like we're getting to the worst one.
Yeah, is when I worked at, not going to say the name of it, but... I mean, you could figure it out if you Google it.
They're not listening.
It was a work release facility in South Bend. So I was a detention officer. Wasn't a fully trained correctional officer, but I was doing the same job for half the pay. Well, not half, like two-thirds of the pay with no training.
Sure.
No good training. Our training was a week of like, sitting in the basement of this place, like watching like PowerPoint presentations.
And what did they give you guys to keep them in control? Like,
we had handcuffs,
a whistle.
And that's all we had.
Did you get a flashlight?
We did get a flashlight. That was awful. I had to bring my own flashlight to work.
So a flashlight and handcuffs.
Yes.
Did you ever have to use your handcuffs?
Once. It was a very civil situation. Somebody told me to cuff, my superior told me to cuff the guy, but he was like a really small dude, but he was like short and stocky. So his wrists didn't make it far enough back to where I had to borrow someone else's handcuffs to do a double link. That's just embarrassing. Yeah, that job was hard because the difference between jail and work release is work release, you get to go out for work and then come back. You sometimes get home passes and you come back, but basically
you're essentially just treating these men like children.
Yeah. They leave out, you mark on the schedule when they left, when they're due to come back.
Yeah.
If they don't come back at the correct time, they get written up. Real simple shit. The bad part was when they come back, because to get into the building, they have to be checked, which means you pat them down. You take them to the search room. And then you strip search them, which means you got to look through all their clothes. And they're standing there butt naked. You got to make them lift. You got to make them turn. You got to make them spread the cheeks. You got to look at dicks, balls, and buttholes.
I was gonna say, so you've seen more balls and buttholes in your lifetime than I care to ever
see. Yes, hundreds.
That's
and the same ones multiple times every day. And the way it worked, the way my schedule, well, one, of course, only guys can check in guys, only women can check in women.
Yeah.
There were times where the way they set it up is you can run a shift with only three officers. And I worked third shift, which is the worst because it's third shift. Oof, so I worked midnight to 8. I'd come in at midnight. It is me and two female officers. The Sunday night crew of offenders, as we called them, were the ones that worked overtime on Saturday. So there were 20 men in, well, at midnight, there's probably about 9 or 10. But by 2 p.m., I've checked in 20 dudes by myself.
Jesus.
Just the 2 hours of just checking a guy in, putting him out on the floor, going back, getting another one, just constantly just checking people in. I'm the only guy that can do it.
Jesus. And so literally just a line of guys waiting to get in.
Well, they're all like sitting down and stuff. But basically, yeah, all sweaty and dirty from work. Similar to what you were talking about with the plume. Guys that worked in specifically fiberglass factories. So they're covered in fiberglass. And their clothes are covered in fiberglass. And I'm sitting there checking them in and going through their clothes, going through their pockets.
It's not only are you looking at their assholes, you're getting itchy, dusty, nasty shit all over you.
But the worst part was, at that point, I had the most seniority. And for a point, like for all intents and purposes, I was the second in command on my shift. I was running the shift on weekends because I had the most seniority. But I was never given the title of lead officer, so I never told anyone I was lead officer. It was also a nothing title anyway. Officer in charge is the only one given by management that it comes with a pay increase. Lead officer is just, hey, you're just given more responsibility. Extra
responsibility without the pay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But on weekends, so once I was done checking all these dudes in, I would have to go into the bubble, create the list of people leaving for the day, and then run the entire shift. So I did all that for $12.82 an hour.
So we'll get into my, so my worst one to follow up with that, which is hilarious, by the way. The worst job I ever worked. When I worked in New York, we talked about a little bit about the things I saw on my commute last episode, in episode 8. But in the actual facility, I worked for a Korean-owned dental company. Supposedly the largest chain Korean dental company. It's like a, what are the ones here? Like Afdent?
Afdent and Aspen Dental are the two big ones.
Yeah, like that. But Korean. So they were opening branches in the U.S. They, and when I started, they had one like in D.C. They had two in California, one in Queens, or they were working on opening one in Queens, and they were had just opened their like flagship station, like their flagship office in like Manhattan, like downtown. It wasn't downtown. It was Upper East Side. The reason I got it. So let's start how I got this. First of all, because this sets the whole tone for everything. I had been applying for jobs. I moved out to New Jersey. No job, no real plan. I'll apply everywhere, but applying for jobs all over the place. This job calls me up. It was not one I applied for. They said, hey, let's do a quick phone interview. So I do the phone interview. They go, great. Everything's good. Can you come into the office for an interview? I was like, yes, I can. When do you want me there? They go, can you get here by 5 p.m.? I was like, oh, shit, today? I had never been to New York City before, and I lived in New Jersey. Yes, I can. I will be there. 5 o'clock. I literally called my wife. Hey, I'm hopping on the train right now. I'm going to New York. So I get there. First time ever in New York City. Hop off Penn Station. Get off, you know, downtown. Walking through Koreatown. Find the building. Get there. Interview. Go home. Everything happens. They call me back, I think, that day or the next day and say, hey, everything was great. We'd love to offer you the position. It was a marketing coordinator, I think is what they called it, or marketing assistant. I don't remember. Stupid me. This is my first, like one of my first real marketing jobs out of college. Yeah. Did not ask enough questions. Nowhere near enough questions. Hey, this place wants to give me a job. They brought me in for an interview. Good enough. Generally, okay, what are you guys doing? What are your goals? That was my questions. That was not enough. So I went, give me 24 hours. I'll think about it. Essentially just weighing all my things. Asked a few more questions about like benefits, this and that. Got all my answers. I accepted the next day. That was on like Monday. This is all like Monday, Tuesday. The next day, Wednesday, I accept. They go, can you start on Thursday? I was like, I guess so. And they go, great. We have a trade show tomorrow. We need someone to go to it. So I went to their office one time. Don't know anything about the company, really what they do. Great. Where's the trade show? The downtown Hilton, one of the biggest conference centers, like in actual like Times Square, Manhattan. Never been there before. Don't know how to get there. I think it's actually just off Times Square, but you get the gist of it. We'll send someone to meet you at the train station in the morning. Sounds good. Again, don't really know where anyone's at in the train station. Don't have this person's number. I just know I'm looking for Anna. Don't know who Anna is. I'll find her. Come to find out, I do find her. Someone gave me her phone number when I got there. So I text her. We find each other. She takes me through. I'd never been on the subway before. She got me on the subway. Like, we went together, got to this place. She has all the materials. We set up a table. We have brochures and flyers, set it all up. Mind you, this is my first day on the job ever. Barely know anything about the company. They're dentists. That's all I know. They have a dental office. Cool. I can market that, right? I read through the brochure, get the gist of it. I can talk to anyone. Fine. I can fake my way. I'm talking to her while we're saying it. She doesn't know any more than I do. She is the graphic designer. She also knows nothing. She only knows what they do because she has done the graphics for the ads and put the like $50 special in a Starburst above someone smiling. Like, she knows nothing. So luckily they sent one of the like dental assistants from the new flagship office to help us answer, like, or one of their payment specialists or something. It is what it is. I mean, I faked my way through that day. I made some connections with some guys who did swag and other things. I was like, hey, I'm a marketer. I might need this later. Did it. Day one, check. Never even went to the office. Fantastic. Day two, I go into the office. I get notified as I'm coming into the office that day. It was a little interesting. First of all, you had to go up. I mean, just like any New York office, there's multiple different businesses on different floors. Mine was above a Korean grocery store. We were on like the fifth floor. The third and seventh were karaoke bars. And I think there was a chiropractor in there. It was a mess. Apparently the karaoke bar is fun. My colleagues used to go. I never had the chance to go with them. But so I get to my floor, and when you get off the elevator on my floor, you just run into a glass wall. You have to have a key card to get through the door, and I didn't. So I'm just standing there waiting for someone. just waiting for someone to walk by the wall, and someone else eventually came up like 2 minutes after me and let me in. So I get my key card and everything. We're all good to go. I am informed that in an hour, I have a meeting with one of our largest vendors, one of the Chinese language newspapers in New York that we run ads in quite frequently. So I'm like, great, we can do this. It's supposedly supposed to be like, hey, just renew our contract. Everything's good. They write the ads for us because no one here speaks Chinese. They all speak Korean, not Chinese. They write the ads. We just need to provide a basic image and our specials for the month. Cool. I can do that. Fantastic. So I sit down in the boardroom with this guy. It's me and our HR manager for some reason, because I think we just needed another body in there. And she was the one who hired me. This guy comes at me right away. And he's also a young guy, and we're about the same age. He comes at me right away and he goes, yeah, we're not happy with this contract. We're ready to cancel. And I was like, wait, why? And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, I understand you're new, but they didn't tell you? He's like, we've been complaining about this for weeks. Apparently, my predecessor had taken the ad they created in Chinese and used that to run a Chinese language ad. He literally copied the ad they gave us, gave it to their competitor, the second largest Chinese language newspaper in New York City, and ran the same ad in their newspaper. So the ad they created and ran, and he goes, that's like infringing on our contract, this and this. I went, ho, let's pump the brakes here. I was like, listen. I understand this happened under him. He is gone. I'm not going to let that happen again. Like, I renegotiated our entire contract with this guy day one in the office. So we're 2 days in. It's Friday. I have already gone to a trade show, done this, and barely even met anyone in the office. This is before lunchtime. By the time after lunchtime, I learned I share an office with our graphic designer and our lawyer. I mean, it's a big office, but it was an interesting combination of people. Like, the graphic designer kind of made sense. Like, marketing, we work together, but the lawyer was an interesting one. I think they just didn't have anywhere else to put her. Very interesting office setup. So kind of a small kitchenette area. The bathrooms are fancy as fuck. So I learned, if you can ever go work for an Asian-owned company, utilize your bathroom time. I had heated seats. I had a full bidet that like moved and was heated and massaged things I didn't know existed. Like, it was a great toilet. Fantastic. Highly recommend. There were cameras everywhere, and these come into play later. Like, there was a camera in the kitchenette, which is kind of a weird place for cameras. There's a camera down the bathroom hallway. There's two cameras in our office, one pointed at the door and one that's pointed more at our desks and the windows. Each conference room had two cameras. The manager's office had a camera. Like, there were literally cameras everywhere. I was like, this is kind of weird. Didn't think any of it day one. Worked through the rest of the day. It's mostly just setting up emails, getting used to everything, learning who all of our vendors are, whatever. Throughout the weeks, I was only there 2 months. Throughout the weeks, it gets worse and worse. More contract negotiations for sure, bringing in suppliers for swag, you know, bottles and keychains and stuff like that. I come to find out I am not only just this marketing assistant, I am the marketing department. Not for the new flagship station that we've opened, but for all of the American chain, like the branches that we've opened so far. So like 8 different offices. At one point, I wrote a ad in Spanish. My Spanish is not good, but apparently it's good enough because that was for our DC office, and I gave it to her, and the manager there did speak Spanish. And she was like, actually, you did a very good job. She had 2 little grammatical things to fix. We were good to go. The graphic designer and I wrote an ad in German, which neither of us spoke at the time. She only spoke Korean. The accountant for the company, at least the US parts of the company, he spoke Japanese. So he wrote an ad for us in Japanese once. This is the things we were doing. My favorite still, the German, writing a German one for a Korean company in America. That was, by the time I left, the company was being sued because we were opening offices and names of dentists who didn't exist, essentially. We were no longer allowed to use our name. Like, we were no longer it was UD, essentially, dental, blah, 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 whatever. But UD for short. We were no longer allowed to use that name in our offices. So in my last week, while looking for a replacement and being sued, the being sued part is hilarious because I shared the office with the lawyer. I heard her conversations like with the owner that were literally just her on the brink of almost tears, but her just going, we can't just sue them because you want to. Like, we have to have a probable clause. Like, you can't just turn, and you just hear him going, it's America. I can sue whoever I want. She goes, that's not how things work here. Like, he's in Korea. He flew in the last couple days of my tenure there. But so while we were being sued, I had to change all of our Google, like Google Maps names. Like, so when you search for us, we didn't have a replacement name. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to rebrand. No, I changed 8 different offices to the dental offices formerly known as United Dental. It was the absolute, in the week that I left, the accountant left 2 days before I did. He gave no notice. He was just like, I'm out of this place. Oh, I forgot the best part. We were also a real estate company.
Oh, of course.
So because dental and real estate make commercial real estate. I had to do the marketing and website design and all of this for this real estate company, which now I think is a holding company. Like, it was a shell company for the shady shit they were doing on the dental side. I am 90% sure. We all came to this theory, the lawyer and I. She was hilarious. I loved her. And the lawyer for, there's a separate lawyer for the real estate side. Why they kept them separate, I think that was, so there was like, they had deniability in certain business transactions. The three of us had lunch together one time. We were talking about this. We're like, wait. So literally they just throw these crazy scenarios at us and these like, they're like, deal with it. And like, we talked about like my first week and they're like, dude, I had a crazy similar first week. They're like, I had like contract negotiations in my first week and I had to get us out of this like crazy deal. And I was like, I'm pretty sure we're all in a Korean game show. I was like, think about it. There's cameras everywhere. They're literally tracking all of our moves. They're testing us. They're literally just testing us. I was like, I bet if one of us lasts a year, we win. Like, we just go through it. None of us did. No, I've kept in contact with them, at least on like on LinkedIn and stuff. We've all left. It was the craziest shit I have ever been through. Just every week, just scenarios that are like, you need to market this. You need to do this with under this budget, which is insane. We need to do this whole design spec in 24 hours. Like, nothing ever made sense there. Like, I think to this day we were on like the Korean version of like The Apprentice or something. And I could have consented when I signed the contract. I don't know.
Was the contract in Korean?
Oh, there were definitely full sections of it that were in Korean. And they're like, oh, don't worry about that. It's this section in English. And I am pretty sure that is not true. Like, now I look back on this and I'm like, I don't know about that. Even the, like, you would think if nothing else, we would have like great dental coverage there. No, we had the option to take part of our paycheck and essentially like save it and they would match. And we could use that as a credit at their dental office. Like, it was, the whole thing was super shady. They were the kind of dental office that was always like pushing, like upselling, like teeth whitening and like, oh, you need a root canal and like all that, like shit, like you should probably get crowns, like stuff you didn't need to. It was a shady ass company. Worst work experience ever. The most stressful like 2 months of my life. I've never been so stressed in a work scenario ever.
Hey y'all, Jimmy Robakowski here. How you doing? So it is currently 1 a.m. while I'm editing this episode, and I'm realizing we went so far over on time that there's no way I'll be able to fit all of it into one episode without chopping it to pieces. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it as it is right now and call that part one and either release part two as a bonus episode or use it later down the line. But as of right now, this is all we got. And here comes the outro. Anyway, this has been Wasted Information. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google, iTunes, or wherever you go to for podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at WastedInfo or email us at wastedinfopod@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Wasted Information.